This podcast is being recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge their ongoing connection to land, waters, and culture. Genocide and colonization are ongoing processes which continue to this day. Sovereignty was never ceded. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
It's time for Men and the Dunce. Men and the Dunce.
Hey, hey, and welcome to the very first ever ultra special episode of our short series on Denk Marxist theory. This is going to be a little four-part series where I explain Marxism to Zach through the medium of Denk memes. So this short series was funded by our patrons. So thank you so much, patrons. It was a reward for if we hit 50, which we did a couple weeks ago by the time you're listening to this. So yeah, thank you so much, patrons. It's so lovely to have your support and so many of you. It's just absolutely amazing.
Thank you. There's going to be one of these a week for the next 4 weeks is the plan.
Yeah.
This will finally... Well, no, this will mean that Noon will stop sending me extremely dank and obscure Marxist memes that I don't understand.
No, it's going to make that happen much more.
But yeah, it's just going to be more of that. Now I'm going to be expected to laugh.
Know what's going on.
Because I understand them, as opposed to laughing because I don't understand them, which is... I mean, currently my favorite genre of meme is memes I don't understand.
Mm. You and there's another friend... confidant, member of my inner sanctum, Nathan, who's also one of our patrons, who also particularly enjoys memes that he doesn't understand. So I feel like this is a recurring thing. So I'm sorry to ruin all of these memes by hopefully explaining them in an unnecessary amount of detail.
Oh, you know what they say about jokes? The more you explain them, the funnier they get.
Well, which might lead us on to our first meme. Do you want to take us through this one, Zach?
Yes,
this one
okay.
Not a dank theory meme. It's just a regular meme.
So this is a picture of one of maybe like three communists that I can visually identify. I believe this guy's name was Karl Marx.
Mm.
He's, you know, big beard, mustache, and male pattern baldness, but with long hair kind of thing.
Yeah.
Seems to be wearing a key on a necklace. Not important. The text, it's a bottom text meme, and it says, "Communist memes aren't funny unless everyone gets them." I think there's, I do get this one, but the meme isn't that funny, so...
No, or dank. No. So I just put this in here as a placeholder because I wanted to say that there's a couple of things that I'm trying to not do in this series, and one of them is give a biography of Karl Marx, who lived a long and interesting life in many different countries, and a million other people have written about it, so I'm not going to talk about his, actual life very much. And the other thing I'm not going to do is I'm going to try to avoid any hashtag tanky hashtag discourse about historical communist governments or movements and so on. I'm sure a lot of people will be disappointed by that, but no, I'm just trying to talk about the dank theory, the complex jargon, and all of my favorite nerdy philosophical bits about Marx. So, okay, Zach, do you want to take us through our next meme, which is our first actual dank theory meme?
Yes, all right. So this is a Simpsons meme. It's Lisa and Homer in the car, but Homer has been replaced by the aforementioned Karl Marx.
With the Homer hair still poking out from behind Marx, which I think is a nice touch.
It is a nice touch. And Marx is saying to Lisa, the whole reason we created dialectical materialism is so people don't have to read Hegel all the time.
Yep. Hilarious. Good shit.
I think Hegel is the OG meme I don't get genre.
For this episode, I've titled episode 1, Denk Theory in brackets Hegel.
Here we are. Everything that I know about Hegel has come from memes that you've sent me.
Mm-hmm.
the trend continues.
All right. So I'll get to Hegel in a sec, but this meme mentions one of two of Marx's fundamental ideas, or like there are two main components of his ideas, which are historical materialism and dialectical materialism. I'm going to talk about historical materialism in the last episode, and that's my like favorite Marx shit, but it needs a bit of groundwork. So we're going to start with dialectical materialism.
Okay.
Now, this is the like big overarching conceptual philosophy that Marx subscribed to slash invented along with Engels. And hence, it says we in the meme, the whole reason we invented dialectical materialism, that's him and Engels. Yeah. Okay. And so this was basically entirely based on Hegel, who was the thinker when Marx was around. He died when Marx was a kid, I'm pretty sure. And when Marx was like a rowdy teenager, there were two main kind of like theoretical slash political groups in Germany at the time, which were the Young Hegelians and the Old Hegelians. And the Young Hegelians, who were like Marx and his pals, were basically Republicans who were like, we need a republic, the monarchy, because it's in like the 1800s, the monarchy is like a shitty autocratic bad thing. And the Old Hegelians...
Just like Malcolm Turnbull.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And the monarchists are basically like... The Old Hegelians were basically monarchists, saying that, like, no, this is the, like, right way for a state to be run, or something along those lines. But the point is that the entire, like, intellectual world at that time, in that area at least, was based around Hegel. And Hegel was an idealist, which... Do you have any idea about what idealism is?
I guess if I had to take a stab, it would be like somebody who is more interested in pure ideas or philosophy than how they might actually function in a real world context.
Mm. That's pretty good, but that's even a bit soft. And that's because you're such a materialist, as everyone in the modern world is, more or less, that you can't even imagine people being an idealist like Hegel. Okay, so Hegel believes that history is the idea evolving. Okay, like this thing that he's conceived of called the idea, which is like the fundamental subject
of the world.
He's
like a philosopher.
For
like
real.
Like a person who spends all their time just being like, I'm going to... see how much I can prove this absolutely random thing I've decided is factually true.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to spend all my time doing.
Yep.
Mm. Okay. Yep. Gotcha.
Now
I got Hegel's number now.
Pretty much. And I have to say, I have not read much Hegel. I've read less than one page total ever. Mostly
in quotes
from Marx.
Well, that's why we created dialectical
Marx.
Materialism.
Exactly. Okay. So anyway, I just wanted to, as a disclaimer for Hegel nerds out there, you know, feel free to blast me. But on his deathbed, he said this thing, which is, no one understood me except him, and he got it wrong. And people think it was referring to his, like, assistant or whatever. But anyway, so, like, no one knows what's going on with Hegel, me less than anyone else, because I've, like, purposefully avoided engaging with it very much. Anyway, one of Hegel's, like, fundamental tools is dialectics. And this is a word that gets used throughout history at all sorts of times in philosophy. Socrates talked about the dialectic method, whatever. It means different things for different people. And Hegel nerds get mad for people over-emphasizing the dialectic. But anyway, it's still important conceptually. So do you know what the dialectic is, Zach?
I think I have a relatively basic understanding of it, which is basically... you smush two ideas together in order to make a new delicious idea that is better than the original two ideas.
That's fucking phenomenal. That's the perfect explanation. Yeah. So it's this three-stage process of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. And it's exactly what you said. You start off with one thing, and then you get its opposite, and then you kind of combine the best bits. And then that synthesis becomes the thesis that then something else reacts against. Anyway, it's this kind of like neat conceptual tool for looking at how stuff relates to one another, but it's basically also nonsense. So this might actually be a good moment for you to read the next meme on our
All right, I'm scrolling
list.
Down. Yeah. Okay, so now we're getting much danker here.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know what the original version of this one was, but
yeah.
I'm sure that once I start to read it, people will recognize the format. So, got a picture of Marx. Hegel, can you give me dialectics? And a picture of who I can only assume
it is Hegel.
Hegel, looking very yellow. Hegel says, for absolute idealism? Marx says, yes. And then the next panel is actually subverts the Hegelian system like a boss, with a picture of the cover of Marx and Engels' book, The German Ideology. And then the final panel is materialism time. And there's some communist propaganda there, images. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. So this is a very accurate rendition of Marx's interpretation of Hegel. All right. So Marx took the idea of dialectics and, quote, turned it on its head by making it materialist rather than idealist. Okay.
That sounds pretty dialectical to me.
Yeah. It's exactly. I'm going to get to that in a second.
Dialectics.
Right. So Hegel has the thesis, which is idealism, and then there's this antithesis, which is materialism, which Marx got from a guy called Feuerbach, and then Marx combines them into the synthesis, which is dialectical materialism. And there's a little quote here from Engels, who says, Hegel was not simply put aside. On the contrary, a start was made from the dialectical method. But in its Hegelian form, this method was unusable. We took a materialistic view of the thoughts in our heads, regarding them as images of real things, instead of regarding real things as images of this or that stage of the absolute idea. And thus the dialectic of Hegel was turned over, or rather, turned off its head, on which it was standing, and placed upon its feet. Which is like a neat little diss.
Ooh, a little bit of... Yeah, that's a little bit of rhetorical conflict, a little bit of a rhetorical own for you there.
Yeah, for real. Nice. And I just wanted... Yeah.
Also, I don't know if this is happening to you listeners, but every time I hear Hegel, or every time the word Hegel is said, I hear Engels, and every time the word Engels is said, I hear Hegel.
Mm.
So if you are also slightly lost by that, you're not alone. And if you're not, well, maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Good one. Thanks, Zach.
I have the same problem in print as well whenever I've tried to read about Marx. I don't know. It's probably just a me thing now that I'm saying it out loud.
They're kind of similar as E's and G's. Yeah.
Germans.
I just wanted to give one example of how idealism versus materialism might work because I find it, like I said before, that we're all basically materialists, and that's because we like live in a hard world of like economics and business or whatever, where like the material outcomes are like the first ones that people think about. But
most people believe that the world is real.
Yeah, that's right.
And the thing that actually exists.
But we still use idealism all the time, and I still do it all the time. And this is a classic way to like fuck off Marxists online, is to be like, well, you're being a bit idealistic there. Could you use a more material analysis? It's just a perfect diss. Doesn't matter what they've said. You can use that one. So, but I just wanted to give one example of idealism versus materialism, and it's about the example of when writing was invented. And writing was invented in several different places around the world, and there's a pretty good question of, like, why was it invented in this place and not this other place? And an idealist might say, like, oh, the Aztecs or the Mesoamericans or whatever, they were so smart and innovative. And one time there was this Mesoamerican person who was like, I would like to pass on some of my knowledge, so I'm going to invent some way to do that. And so they invented writing, right? So that's a plausible story about someone having this like idea that then results in some outcome. But the materialist answer is that writing was actually invented in places where big empires needed to keep tax receipts. Right? It was this like material, like very gritty, boring day-to-day need of the ruling class to get that money that resulted in writing being invented. And materialism is basically the reason that I didn't go back to university after my undergrad degree, or at least do postgrad in philosophy, because it's basically just like the like 17-year-old atheism of metaphysics. It's just like, no, that's not real. And it kind of ruins a lot of academic philosophy because they're like, oh, what about all this bullshit? And I'm like, well, it's mostly bullshit. Okay, so that's materialism. But dialectical materialism is this like conceptual tool that you use to analyze the material world or whatever. And so that's why Marx in that meme is saying it so people don't have to read Hegel all the time, is that they've like distilled the like actually useful conceptual tools and taken away all of the like metaphysical garbage about it. That said, 90% of the time dialectical materialism is really not very important. And it's like a fun intellectual game of being like, oh yes, Marx is using a dialectical method to examine the question of the Jews or whatever. But like, it's not really that relevant. But there's one important idea from it, which is that contradictions are everywhere and aren't paradoxical, but also aren't sustainable. Right, so there are these conflicts or contradictions that can exist together for a long time, or a short time, but they can exist together, but they cause conflict and they cause change. And we're going to look at that in the last episode when we talk about historical materialism rather than dialectical materialism.
So from a material perspective, that might describe the way that a society that is inherently unequal can exist for a certain amount of time, but eventually there's going to be some kind of massive change. Is
Absolutely.
That kind of the main application of that idea?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, especially in the context of like revolutionary Marxists.
All right. Now I'm the fourth panel. Actually subverts the Hegelian system like a boss.
Fuck yeah. Keep subverting that shit.
Shit, Hegel.
There was just one little last materialism thing that I wanted to say before we wrap up, which is that it's... The dialectics aren't that important, but the materialism is. And one good lesson in materialism is critical support. And this is a phrase that I use often as a meme on the internet and that other people use with various amounts of irony or whatever. But Marx was very critical of the Paris Commune, which was basically like the Occupy Wall Street of the 1870s, except that they like successfully overthrew the government of France for like a little while. They were like a really good...
They made it a little bit further than Central Park.
Yeah, totally. But he was like, look, you guys, you're fucking up a bunch of stuff. This is not how you should be doing it. But he was also super supportive of them. And he was basically like, I'm writing books. I think I'm right. But also these dudes are fucking out there with their guns in the streets, taking over shit, throwing over governments. And I support the shit out of that, even if I don't think they're doing it the perfect way according to my like intellectual scheme. And he prioritized the like material activity and the like real experiment that they were making in revolutionary communism instead of his theoretical commitments. And so...
Hey, gotta respect that.
For real.
Definitely a couple points for old Marx in my book, now that I've heard that.
Yeah.
Raised in my esteem slightly.
Yeah, hell yeah. Anyway, that's the end about the Denk theory and Hegel. That's it for this episode. You now know everything you need to know about dialectical materialism and dialectics and materialism and the Paris Commune.
All in, I don't know how long we've been recording for, but let's call it 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. Great. Thanks
so much. Thanks for joining me, Zach, and thanks, listeners. We'll catch you next time for Dank Economics and Abstract Coats.
You bet. All right, peace out.